We did the other one, the north ones, right?
We did the big one.
Yeah.
It's 9:04. We're gonna call a meeting to order. Can I get a roll call?
Carter? Alex?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Michaels? Mitchell? Richards?
Here.
Court?
Present. Okay, can I get approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
The move in second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Public participation. You got anything? Okay, no public participation. Okay, approval of the minutes for February 7th, 2014.
So moved. Second.
Okay, so for discussion. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, now we're gonna need approval for the county and township motor fuel tax claim, February 2014.
Move approval.
Second.
Move in second. It's open for any discussion. I want Jeff.
Yep.
On your reimbursement. Would you pay your way, use your, and then they reimburse you?
Yes. Yeah, we don't have a credit card here at the highway department, so I just pay for everything and then submit it for reimbursement.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, our next thing is the county engineer's report.
All right, item number 7, resolution awarding the contract for County Highway 22 bridge replacement. Bids were opened on February 19th. Low bidder was O'Neill out of Urbana at $775,665. Engineer's estimate was $836,370. It's always good to come in the second lowest bidder on a project. Thank God Deuce wasn't the only bidder, because that would have blown us out of the water. I don't know what they were doing. They were just trying to see if they could get one, I guess. But I would recommend awarding that bid to O'Neill Brothers.
So moved.
Second.
Then move in second. It's open for discussion. Seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Ayes have it.
And bid on County Highway 11 on the same day. Same contractor got the low bid, O'Neill Brothers, at $650,898. Engineer's estimate, $679,480. Again, we were second low, which is good. And I would recommend award to O'Neill Brothers for that project.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So those two projects, the one that we approved second, will go first. We will close it before school's out. I've talked to the regional superintendent up there, and the principals. They know that that's going to be closed, and the completion date is prior to reopening of school. So once they complete that one, then they'll move up to 22 and start that one, because there's not as many conflicts with school buses and so forth for the County Road 22 project. Next item. The ICC did issue and approve a final order on February 20th, which was basically for all intents and purposes, exactly the same as the preliminary order that the judge gave to the ICC. So this basically ends the 2.5-year process with the administrative law judge before the Illinois Commerce Commission. It puts everything in line to, if we can get all the paperwork together, get everything approved by IDOT, to be on the April IDOT letting. We have to have everything to IDOT by March 22nd so that they can publish it in the IDOT bulletin. We bid in April. Typically, it's 60 to 90 days after the bid before the contracts are actually signed by IDOT. And the contractor and everything set up there, so maybe we're looking at July 1st, right around in there as a start date for the Olympian Drive project. So once we get that project approved and get it rolling, we will move on to the Lincoln Avenue project as well as the west end of Olympian Drive and start trying to get right of way and get all the approvals for those pieces of that whole chain of projects. So should be a 2-year construction on a project of that magnitude. Hopefully have it open in the fall of 2015 is the plan right now. So
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the 2-year construction for
the Olympian Drive.
For the whole thing?
No, just this part that's been awarded, ICC approved. So this is from Apollo over to Lincoln, which is 1.1 miles over the railroad tracks.
Okay.
Jeff, what did you say you had to get to IDOT by the 21st?
All the plans have to be approved. All the right-of-way documents have to be approved by them. There's a there's a joint agreement that the city of Urbana and IDOT have to execute that shows all the funds that were laid out in the ICC order.
It's only 2 weeks from now. Is that
it's
doable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We're trying to get there for sure.
And so we only need to worry about the ICC because of the railroad bridge. They're not going to weigh in on, say, the Lincoln expansion. So we're done with them.
Yep. So right now, basically what happens is once the project is awarded, IDOT becomes the keeper of the funds, both federal, ICC, and Illinois Jobs Now funds. There's no local money in the joint agreement between Urbana and IDOT. Doesn't show any local cost share. So Urbana will be the lead agency, so they'll provide the project engineer on the project. We're trying to have an engineer on the project as well. The consultant is going to have a couple of engineers out there on the project. We'll, as that group, will fill out all the pay estimates, we'll forward them to IDOT, and IDOT will make payment directly to the contractor. So there's none of that money actually flows through any local governmental agency.
Okay, Al.
Thank you. Jeff, what's the timeline for Lincoln Avenue connecting to this?
We would hope to do it basically directly after the Olympian Drive project. So.
And then how many years is that?
That's a 1-year project.
1-year project.
Yeah.
So you're talking timeline to complete the whole thing in?
16, maybe.
2016.
So that's where we've got three property owners on Lincoln Avenue. Mr. Cope, the Squires, and
Bill Cope wouldn't, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lorraine?
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Thank you. We know how adamantly opposed Mr. Cope is. We have to buy some right of way from him for Lincoln Avenue?
Yes. We don't know, honestly, can't get a feel for him whether, I mean, there's nothing really that he can do to fight the Lincoln Avenue project except make us go into condemnation to get the property, because there's no other entity like an ICC for them to appear before.
So it would mean use of eminent domain.
Yes.
To get that property.
It could. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make us go there, honestly.
How much acreage is there?
It's like 1.5 acres from Mr. Cope of a total of 20-ish acres. We've already got an agreement with Mac or O'Neill Brothers to purchase the south side. There's already an agreement in place for that. That's south of the Squire property, right where Old Lincoln Avenue ends, where it stubs, and then it takes off and makes the turn.
So let me ask you a question. Because I am quite sure from my discussions with him over the, he's come to me a couple of times. He's going to fight this right to the bitter end, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. How far can he delay it in the eminent domain situation, or when we get to that point? What is that kind of timeline? You go in, you negotiate with him, he doesn't want to sell.
Right.
Then, well, we have to go to court, and then we have a court case. And what's the timeline on that? Can that hold up the whole process for how long?
6 months to a year. Okay. From the time it starts into court.
Yeah.
Before it could end. I mean, he has, when he bought that property from Jim Heimberger.
Right.
There was an actual plat of the property that showed the extension of Lincoln Avenue going.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Off of the corner. So he knew, he willingly bought the property knowing that that extension and that piece was going to happen at some point in the future. So that's well documented. I don't think I can't believe there would be any court that would stop.
No, I understand. I'm just, he'll probably try and delay it. That's, you know. I don't know. Maybe he won't. I don't know.
I don't know either, because if Olympian drives there, to not allow Lincoln Avenue to happen seems counterproductive to even his thought process, I would think. Because they're all about, supposedly.
I'm just, you know, speaking from what he's, you know, he has said to me on a couple of occasions.
Right. So and the other landowner apparently is.
What do you think the dollar amounts are going to be for that?
We know what we paid on Olympian. That's the same thing. We're
35.
I'm gonna ask. Do we not?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I apologize. You're right. We can't discuss. That's got to be in closed session. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I think we're negotiating against ourselves.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. So, any other questions about that project or anything to do with that? So we get the consent agenda would be items 7 and 8. And there's just a couple other things that I wanted to follow up on from the last Highway Committee meeting. We're working with the City of Urbana to put together an agreement for the 50% share of the Philo Road project. Talked with IDOT, we've got some language in there. They will allow us to pay after the project is completed, but they wanted some language in there that were put in there. So I've drafted an agreement. Deb's, I sent it through an email. I carbon copied you on it to Bill Gray, and he's taken a look at it. So basically it says that we'll pay our 50% share by January 1st of 2015. And we talked about this at the last Highway Committee meeting, that it's not, and it doesn't matter whether we pay it this year or next year as far as our cash flow and MFT goes, because we're going to get to the end of the line here in 16 anyway. So whether we make a payment in 14 and a payment in 15 doesn't really hurt anything that we're trying to accomplish in our cash flow with motor fuel tax.
What was that figure?
$387,000.
But that was considerably less than what?
$500,000 was the original agreement that we went to the county board and eventually got pulled.
$550,000, I thought it was.
Yeah, might have been.
I think it was $550,000 originally. So. And I'm sorry, Jeff, when do you want to pay it?
By January 1st.
Okay, this year, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Jeff, this would be a part of the money that we set aside to get to Urbana and Champaign?
It'll be part of the fringe road stuff that we've been doing. And we can pay for it with MFT based on IDOT's procedural memorandum that they sent out in October.
Okay, Al. Oh, Chris?
No.
No, okay. You just mentioned Fringe Road. That Fringe Road agreement is not still in place. I mean, that was found to be, wasn't it a couple of years ago, we found that the Fringe Road agreement didn't apply anymore, or are we still on that Fringe Road agreement?
The basic, what came out of all those discussions, as I recall, is that we would meet our obligations under the old Fringe Road agreement of the specific projects that are outlined in that Fringe Road agreement, but anything beyond that would be project-specific. Okay. And we have Philo Road, Lincoln Avenue. There's a piece of Prospect that is in the old Fringe Road agreement, the northerly piece that hasn't been built yet, and then Curtis Road over to First Street, which is a Village of Savoy project.
Okay.
Prospect, like north of Olympia?
Is it up to Olympian?
In front of Ashland or further north?
I'm not quite sure.
I think it's improved all the way to Interstate. There might be a piece from Interstate to Olympia.
Interstate to Olympia, I think that's
that still needs to be done.
Yeah. When you say site-specific, will we need to approve each one of those beyond as this,
yes,
as the Highway Committee need to approve each new agreement, when it comes due after these projects are completed?
Yes. Well, we're going to approve agreements for every project, but beyond that, there's no obligation in any agreement that says we would even look at a project unless you guys agree to.
Well, by 2017, we're not going to have any money to give them anyway, so
that's
it's going
true.
To be moved.
I was just curious where we'd be at that point. Okay.
Yep.
John?
Well, I thought we were done with Fringe Roads, period.
I thought
we got rid of Windsor and Curtis, that we were out of the loop. I didn't know you was going to keep slipping these in one at a time. But I'm glad to hear that we're at least limiting the scope of the big picture down lower, and I appreciate the fact that this come in a little less than what it was originally intended to be. But I don't think people still understand and are listening to you that at some point in time our motor fuel tax is going to be kaput. And it won't even be a hand-to-mouth.
Yeah.
Leave some droppings in the middle, maybe. But
right. That's why I think it's imperative that we, like the Olympian Drive project, where we got the state basically to pay the local cost share for all intents and purposes to the IJN. So the Curtis Road project is going to be a gigantic number, too, because that's another overpass over railroad. So obviously the ICC will be involved in that one. So
we're not obligated for that, though.
Yeah, we are obligated from.
You may be. I'm not obligated.
I'm not obligated. I wasn't on the county board.
So it's not a state statute where that we have to participate
no.
in.
No.
Fringe Road. Okay.
No. Not at all. The other couple of things that were held over. Still working with Chris Dennett on a Mohammed maintenance agreement for the Lake of the Woods area. I've been in contact.
Fringe Road things we don't have to worry about, or is that?
But Piatt County and Douglas County both have their townships maintaining their roads, so I'm getting copies of their agreements so that I can see what they have in theirs, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel on this thing. So still working on that, and hopefully the weather is cleared up. We have been able to take care of the roads. We did borrow
300 ton, 400 ton
from the city of Urbana in salt to get us through. We're getting our final 200 tons here over the next week or so. So we'll be a little bit in debt to the city of Urbana as far as salt goes, but we'll make that up going into next year. But obviously our overtime and our fuel budget is way, way, way out of whack. And we're going to have to bid 4,000 tons this year, Tracy?
Probably.
In salt, whereas we only did 1,000 tons coming into this year because we had a lot stockpiled. So we're probably looking at $70 a ton for salt next year. We're just guessing, but so we're talking $280,000 just in.
What was it last year?
58.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? 58 bucks this year for salt?
I think it was about 64. I think I, my personal opinion, I think it's going to get close to $100.
Do we buy
that mixture, that liquid mixture, or we make it up here?
We make our own salt brine, but we do buy calcium chloride mixture for when it gets really cold. The sodium chloride won't melt the ice and snow, so we got to put calcium down because it's got a lower freezing point. Mm-hmm. So we try to limit our use of that because it's more expensive. We make our own, mix our own brine that we use typically 95% of the time. We got a brine tank in our old salt building over there next to the salt dome. We make our own brine. So,
John?
There was a little short news flash about mining salt out underneath the Great Lakes up north.
Yeah, I saw that.
Said that this is... Of course, been mm-hmm. the biggest. They all got big smiles on their faces. Doing really well
digging salt.
But what kind of surprised me was that they indicated that they were close to maybe being hand in mouth for the first time ever. That that they'd only have what they could get out of the mine. That they couldn't get anything. Couldn't get any headway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you and the others? Do you order for the townships too, or do they mostly do their own?
Well, up until now, we had ordered on behalf of the townships, but with this last season, knowing that we can only hold so much salt in the dome, it's all on state bid. So we're going to have the townships do their own contract with the state and take their own delivery so that we don't have, mm-hmm. we don't run out of room basically in our salt dome.
And but, so will they have to, some of them will have to provide their own storage then?
Yeah. We're talking about 20 to 50 tons. These guys don't typically get much. Chris has already agreed to take whatever we negotiate with this agreement in his own salt building out in Mahomet. So instead of it being hauled here, then they come here and get it, it'll just be hauled directly to them. It's still, all the money still flows through the highway department because we're the keepers of the township's motor fuel tax.
Diane?
What does that do to their pricing?
Same price.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a state contract, so,
it's
based on regions, so, you know, they draw lines across the state, and this region is this price, and this region is this price.
You want to send a truck to Salt Lake City, maybe, and the highway committee go out and start digging a little bit?
Send a train.
What's that? Train. Big train. There you go. See, Chris always thinks big.
Thinking, how can we get salt here and sell it, scalp it to the other counties? Just make some money off this.
There's actually one of the collar counties built gigantic, you know, one of those hoop buildings, and they keep 10,000 tons extra salt sitting on the side at all times for winters like this when they run out. So they haven't. And then they'll fill that up to 10,000 tons, and then they'll fill their dome up. But they figure their dome is what they typically need, but they keep 10,000 in reserves.
How much can you hold in your little dome out here?
Well, we're looking. We talked about last meeting
some kind
about
of
a
conveyor belt there,
and we figure we can get about 5,000 tons in it with a conveyor. If we're just pushing it in with a loader, 3 to 3,500 is all we can get in there. That's why we're looking at a conveyor so we can fill that thing up, and that's about roughly $50,000 for that conveyor.
Jim?
Will the walls hold the pressure?
Yeah, it's concrete and then it's wood, but basically it becomes, you know, like a pyramid of salt in there. And yeah, it's built to hold that much. So we don't want the salt against the wood, obviously, but it builds up on the concrete and then it, you know, it's kind of like a conical shape when we put it in with a
conveyor.
Thinking green or whatever, polar vortex or whatever, but you know, the rumors, the nasty rumors that I'm hearing is a lot of the farmers and stuff think that we're probably going to have a couple more winters like this before it stops because we're in a cycle. So if, you know, if we use so much this last year, then will that 5,000 be enough or will you have to off-site store some?
Well, we've talked about the possibility of trying to do some kind of hoop building and actually, see, because we're sharing the dome, right, with the city of Urbana, Urbana Township and us. City of Urbana wants to spread straight salt. We've talked about possibly doing a salt sand mixture out in the country versus straight salt, but we'd have to have a facility to store and mix that in because the city of Urbana wouldn't want to use it. So we've been talking about that. We don't know what the cost is exactly for something.
Well, that's what I was asking. There's not like there's a shortage of vacant industrial buildings in Champaign County, right?
Metal buildings don't do well with salt, though.
Yeah.
How about you pull out of them first?
Yeah.
Put it in the middle and not touch the walls or something?
You just, you know, put down a big, you know, just put, use a liner or a membrane or something on the inner walls of a...
The problem with the salt and the steel is it draws moisture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it just constantly draws moisture. That's why most of your domes are made out of wood or this vinyl material.
You've seen the Ehler Brothers hoop thing. That's what a lot of counties are going to now for excess storage of salt.
And those are pretty cheap.
Yeah. It's just a concrete wall with a hoop over it.
Quonset hut, basically.
Yeah. So we're looking into that. I don't know what the cost is or if it's cost prohibitive for us to do something like that. Our first thing we want to do is get that conveyor and get the dome full.
We own the building, or Urbana owns the building? Who owns the building?
We actually own it, but there's an intergovernmental agreement. They paid for a certain percentage of the construction. When we put the new roof on, they paid for a percentage of re-roofing it, but it's actually ours. So I don't know if they have any plans or any space available to do their own thing. I know they store a few hundred tons of salt in a building over by Public Works, but it's not very big. So.
Well, and this year it paid off that we're sharing facilities because obviously it made it easy to borrow capacity from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's working out pretty well.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yep. And it's good that we can work with them and they're willing to work with us because...
Right.
We do a lot of things for them, and they do a lot of things for us, and it's a good relationship. Not only just the salt dome, but we share our Durapatcher, which is the pothole filling machine. She's going to get a lot of work probably with Urbana this year. But, you know, we share equipment. We share other things as well. So we have a good relationship with them, and they're very close, obviously. Their building is very close to ours, so...
Are we still helping them with their auto mechanic work?
No, we've never done that. We talked about that when we built this building, but we've never gone into any kind of joint venture on. We just take care of all the county fleet, nothing with the city.
Is that working okay?
It's working great. Yeah.
Good.
We're busy, but we're able to keep up. I haven't heard any complaints about people having to wait long periods of time to get their vehicles in and out.
And that includes county board members' vehicles, right?
As long as you got an M plate.
I got a marker.
What about a handicap?
Got a screwdriver, you have an M plate.
So that's brings everybody up to date on everything that's kind of loosely going right now. That's all I have.
Okay. Any other business from the members?
Say 5774. Oh,
what?
5774. How's it progressing next?
It's progressing.
I'm trying to stay out of the newspapers with that one. I'll take it on.
You know, I think 30 is just a suggestion. I used it today and it was a little bit late. I was able to push it a little bit.
Speed on the ramps when they in a car.
There's
okay.
There's ongoing discussions about some other things that are happening right now. I can't discuss at this point.
Yeah, do that in the double tractor trailer.
Oh, I know.
With an empty load.
What when the wind's blowing 40 mile an hour?
I'm not interested in the speed. I'm interested in getting a coalition of groups and people together to push to get the funding moving.
Well, we have a coalition of may I?
Yes.
We have all of the District 5 chairs involved. We have the intergovernmental agencies involved. We have the Chamber of Commerce involved. We have almost every agency in the county on board with a motion for support of the reconstruction of I-57/74, and there's ongoing negotiation for more funds for other phases of the construction.
Obviously, the construction of a project of that magnitude is outside of the typical money that...
Yeah, it'll probably have to come from a capital...
Yeah, it'll be a bonding of some kind.
Federal or state.
Okay, Michael?
The current phase, the study phase, is paid for. The problem is that it needs to be in a special appropriations bill to get paid for, because IDOT doesn't have the money for just for something like this. And so we need to make sure that our local legislators are voting for the capital bill. One of the problems with this is last year, several local legislators didn't even vote for the capital bill, even though, for instance, the Tuscola stuff was in there. Several local legislators still voted against the bipartisan capital bill. And so that's getting into the capital bill. A capital bill is basically the only way to get the next phases paid for.
Jim?
When you say that, and we discussed it this morning a little bit about the capital bill, and that takes care of the state funding,
yeah.
But it's a federal project, right, through IDOT, and that was part of what he's talking about. When you're talking about all these groups are coming together to put some pressure on IDOT to fund this project, and when that happens, because they discussed it's a 10-year project, so getting that piece done, but also what is the program to get all these people and the pressure on IDOT to do that, because obviously there's been discussions going on about what our funding for Area 5, which has been an issue, let alone the $130 million is probably going to cost for this project. I mean,
well, IDOT will do whatever is in the legislation out of Springfield. I'm not involved with the federal side, but obviously we need to push our federal legislators.
No,
we need to push
Durbin,
Kirk, and Rodney Davis, which they don't need the help. I mean, they are doing that. They're right. They're trying to get this in, but push them. And some of it's out of their control with, say, the Tiger funds and what they're going to do on highway stuff out of Washington. But we have to make sure that they continue to push that, which they have been doing, and try to get that a federal priority as well.
Yeah, the federal bill is expiring. So it's supposed to be, but as has happened in the past, they've done a lot of continuing resolutions. You know, you get a 1-year, 2-year continuing resolution instead of a 6-year federal highway bill. I know Rodney's on the TNI, Transportation Infrastructure Committee, which is where all those negotiations happen. So, but there's no additional funding for highways, whether it be federal or state level at this point. The Federal Highway Trust Fund, if they just use motor fuel tax, is going to bottom out here in the next couple of years. So there's going to have to be some influx of some other kind of funding, whether it comes from a new transportation tax or some other type of funding scenario.
Alex?
I was just going to add to that. From what I've been hearing, I mean, the current federal transportation bill, which is what Safety Lou, I think, expired. And I've basically heard, like, don't expect a new federal transportation bill in the foreseeable future based on what's going on in Congress. So I'm not sure what they're going to do there. I mean, it could be a continuing resolution, but I think if we're waiting for federal money on that, it's going to be a while.
Right.
And I was going to ask on the overtime and the added salt costs and so on, are those where are those from a budget standpoint? And I'll ask Deb that too. Is that something we're going to have to take care of in this year's budget, or is that something we deal with going into next year's budget?
Well, the salt comes out of motor fuel tax, so that goes to reducing our ability to maintain.
Okay. So the money's there, it just takes it away from future projects.
As far as the overtime budget goes, if there's no money from any other source, we're going to have to transfer money from one of our line items into our personnel, which calls for, that has to go to finance and board approval. But we need to wait until, hopefully it's over, but I don't want to get ahead get the cart in front of the horse and move X number of dollars, and then we need more. So we'll kind of wait until the end.
And then for the scaling up and the salt purchase for next year, is that money we'd have to spend in this fiscal year or next fiscal year? When do we have to actually buy the salt?
When it gets delivered, we get the bill. So when is our salt tip? We can get it through the summer, right? We can get it full?
No, we can't get it until after August 1st.
August 1st.
Okay, so that's going to be this fiscal year. Next fiscal year doesn't start till January now, so
right.
We'll have to do a plan on a budget amendment for the additional, whatever additional salt
we're
going
to
buy.
Move money into that line item.
All right. And again, would that be stealing from the motor fuel tax funds?
It's just transferring money around in the motor fuel tax funds.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Max?
Well, I recognize this is outside the scope of our committee, but talking about 5774, if you back up down 57 to 7257, in the big scheme of things, being able to have a good transition, because I know that it gets really kind of balled up right there, and they've got the same interchange right at that exit as they do at 74. Mm-hmm. So it would be smarter at least to start talking about that in the big picture that they would come that way to the south and be able to make that transition on 57 a little bit better, because it really gets pretty bogged up.
Okay, Al.
Thank you. A couple of things on that. If you notice, what was it, option one, mm-hmm, came fairly close south off on 57. I don't think it goes all the way, and I certainly wouldn't want to try to put pressure on them for another $100 million
right, yeah,
for a new intersection. I think we need to stick with our plan, so to speak, and put enough pressure on our federal legislators as well as state legislators, because the state could very well have a capital bill for a couple of billion dollars, and maybe we could, you know, jump in on that once we're ready. And I'm hoping that certain things come to light shortly that will do that for us. I've been working pretty hard on that with other county board chairmen on putting pressure on all of our, not just our own local, but in the District 5 area, because all of the District 5 uses this interchange, and so it's important that they stay on board, and they are. So we're working in that area. The key, of course, is to be ready. If we're ready with the plans and the engineering, we can then submit our request for that money once it's due. But we need to have a shovel ready. You know, there's a term that IDOT uses in all their programs.
Yeah.
Whenever they say to us, give us a program that's shovel ready and we can get you some money. If we're not shovel ready, okay, it doesn't matter if that $100 million is sitting out there. We're not going to see it until we get all our ducks in a row. And that's what I'm working on right now, getting our ducks in a row so that we can be ready, shovel ready, to be able to have the submission ready to go and say, okay, here's our project, here's the plan, okay, now we'd like the money that's now available. And so that's where we are right now, and we're getting closer and closer to that. So I would say, Max, it's a great idea for the next project, okay? Which I don't know if any of us are going to be around for that. I'd like to see this interchange taken care of
in
our lifetime, so to speak. So we're pushing for that shovel-ready situation, which we're doing right now. Another question I had, please.
Okay.
Potholes. Everybody talks about potholes. How are our roads right now? How badly have they been affected by the winter? Because we haven't even talked about coal pack, about plugging. I'm sure that's all part of the budget, too, that's getting thrown to pieces here.
Yeah. You look at the city streets, and they do a lot of patching,
right,
particularly joints. Almost everywhere you look where there's a pothole, it's where, you know, they laid an asphalt layer, and then they laid another one next to it, and that joint comes apart, basically. Right. And then your potholes start rattling and coming apart. Most of our roads, we tend to pave them all in one layer. We don't put a joint in the middle, which alleviates that problem of those joints coming apart. What we're going to see a lot of this year that is going to be more so than we've seen in the past is, you know, the transverse cracking of the roadways just from the thermal shifting of everything underneath. We don't have a lot of potholes. We've got some edge breakoffs, you know, because you got an unconfined edge against an aggregate shoulder, and those trucks tend to ride that edge, and that's the weakest point in our profile of our roadway. We've got a little bit of that going on, but as far as potholes like you see driving around urbanized area, we're in pretty good shape. We're just going to put a lot of money into crack sealing and seal coating, and as long as we, I don't want to belittle the effort that the cities of Champaign or Urbana do, but I think we do a better job of staying on top of our maintenance and getting it done before these problems arise. And they tend to be reactive, and with our pavement management system over the last 5 to 10 years, I think we've become more proactive in trying to take care of those problems before they exist.
Has that equipment, that big 18-wheeler that goes over, we're still using that,
yes,
right? And they're the ones that give us the idea of where the weaknesses are in our right. road system, which is really a preventative in
yes.
essence.
Yeah.
So I certainly would like, you know, to see that continue, because you're right, I've been, you know, we drive around, I drive out to Gifford, I drive out to Springfield, and we do have pretty good roads, and the prevention is what I think has done a good job
right.
for us to keep our roads in shape.
And we've actually, our contract is up after this cycle with ARA, so there'll be a new contract coming to the county board this year to continue that.
I certainly
hope. Management.
Will it come through this committee?
Yes.
Or through finance?
Through this committee.
Oh, through this committee, and then will it need to go to finance?
No, it's a motor fuel tax expenditure.
Okay. Oh, on motor fuel tax. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I certainly would recommend that we look very closely at continuing
yes.
this prevention measures.
Max?
Would it be behooves to, you know, maybe have Jeff come to the county board meeting and just, you know, kind of give a summary, a real quick summary of what's taken place over the winter and kind of where you're at, so that, you know, it goes to the whole county board?
I can do that. There's not a lot to talk about, to be honest with you, except for the salt and the overtime.
Well, but just the proactive
right.
you know, the proactive approach.
What we,
if you want to, you know, it's up to you.
What we can do, which is
to ask him to come and give a
which is probably better than what I can do, is our pavement management company is very willing and able to talk about how their system and our maintenance efforts work together to be able to prevent catastrophes on our roadways during the winter. And I would imagine it'll be a very easy sell to that pavement management system company to say, hey, if you want the next 5-year contract, you need to come in and give a presentation, 15 minutes, to talk about the benefits and what we've gained over the last 5 years and what we hope to get out of the next 5.
Well, I think that just, I mean, people see the cities, but they don't really see the county. And I think it really would be beneficial to the whole county, all the members.
Tell them how good we are.
Well, but yeah, but the county roads are really held up over this, you know, bad weather.
Alex?
I actually agree with that. I had a candidate interview with the building trades.
I'm sorry, what
is that? I said I had a candidate interview with the building trades, and one of the things they said was, oh, you know, you must be really struggling with the potholes. And I said, well, the pothole problem is mostly a city street problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got a lot of board members who probably don't understand it either.
Right.
So, yeah, just to the extent that you can say, you know, look, the county roads are holding up. We've got some,
okay.
We're going to do a lot of crack sealing, but we don't have a real pothole problem. You know, be aware we're spending a lot of money on salt. We're spending a lot of money on overtime.
Okay.
I think it'd be useful for the board members as a whole who don't get to come to this meeting to understand. Because that's the kind of thing constituents
right.
want to know about.
We can do that.
They don't care about the budget, but they want to care about the, they care about the potholes.
Okay, Diane.
I don't want to tell you what and how to do it, but my comment, as a visual, you always have really good maps of the roads that were, you know, what the time frame of how long they're going to last and things like that. And I just wanted your maps pulled out in there would show that these are county, this is you know, so.
Good idea.
And then, because you have them all rated, and they're all rated really well, so that would be a.
That would be helpful.
A plus two.
Okay.
Okay, can you usually give us a 5-year plan?
Let me get, yep.
Here for us.
Let me get with, because we are working on the 5-year plan currently, and I haven't had my meeting with ARA yet to actually put that together, but that should be happening real soon. Let me see if I can make it happen before, what's the March board meeting's date?
20th.
I don't think it'd kill us to do it in April either.
No, you might have better numbers.
I'd rather have you working on Olympia Drive, making sure we meet the deadline for IDOT.
Yes.
So if it's April, it's April.
Okay. Can do that.
We're talking about salt, we're talking about margarita mix and stuff.
And we'll have our real numbers by then, hopefully.
Margarita.
Hopefully it's done snow in my day.
That would probably help the county board a lot.
Make some road salt margaritas.
Yeah.
It would help them a lot.
Any particular flavor?
No, I don't care.
Strawberry, whatever.
Michael, did you have anything?
That's all I have.
Okay. Okay, is there anything else to go for this committee? We've designated 7 and 8 for the designation item to be placed on the consent agenda. So if there's no other business, we can adjourn.
Thank you. Max, got a bit of a future.
I saw that.